and gentlemen, to this final hour of the Hagman Report on this Monday edition. We are joined by in-studio guest T.C. Joseph. He's the author of the Next Generation series of books, and we have him here at the Hagman Studio, except for one, which my dad's lending books to neighbors, which is a no-no.
Yeah, this generation series, not the next.
Oh, sorry, this generation
series. But I got to tell you, hey, Jack, if you're listening... You know, if he knew he was here,
he'd be, oh yeah, you're right. He would be over.
He'd be down in the studio right away. All right,
but yeah, we can go. We have a lot of different places we can go in this hour. We were just talking off air, you know, about scripture and prophecy and the times that we live in. I wanted to point this out to you. I was just reading a bulletin that was put out on the 20th by the Office of Cyber Infrastructure Analysis. And it talks about the artificial intelligence, the future of AI, and its importance in all areas of our society, and it weighs the pros and cons. And one of the narratives that it talks about here for enhancing the future technology, it says, in today's digital revolution, all businesses and employees must integrate AI and transform their operations or otherwise risk survival. AI isn't a choice, it's a necessity. And that led me to, while we were talking about prophecy, and we talked about being in potentially the last generation in the end times, never before have we had, at least from what we observe, all the ingredients to be in the end times.
That's true.
And I wanted to get your take on this, TC, about from the increase in technology to... what we see with natural disasters, Israel becoming a nation again, the signs and the stars in the heavens. We were just talking about September 23rd. Do you believe we are living in the end times, whether it's in this year or in the next 100 years?
Yeah, I really do. And the key sign in Bible prophecy is Israel becoming a nation again. And you know, it'll be 70 years in 2018, which is a generation, right? And so there are, people always go back to Jesus comparing Israel to the fig tree and saying, when you see the blossoms, then you know that the end is near. And so we see that Israel has been born again. You know, I'm not going to get the prophet right. But one of the prophets says, have you ever seen anything like this? A nation born in one day. Mm-hmm. But literally, Israel was born in one day. And so, you know, we started to witness these things. Now, let's be very, very clear in this, right? Not only did that happen, but Roswell happened. The alien deception started at the exact mm-hmm. same time. And you know, I want to say, we talk about the deception. I don't know. Like I said, some of my readers are, hopefully a lot of my readers aren't even attuned to this yet. So it would need explanation. But the Bible says that in the end times, God's going to allow a great deception to overtake the earth. And people wonder what that great deception would be. And L.A. Marzulli, a lot of people think that great deception is going to be either faked extraterrestrial life or extraterrestrial life brought about by like fallen angels mm-hmm. that deny the reality of Christ. So, you know, I'll go back to the books again, Doug. There's a point in Pentecost where Gabe challenges Michael to read a book, to kind of change his mind about what he's doing with alien technology. And that book really is a book called Final Events by Nick Redfern. And Nick Redfern would make a wonderful guest for you, by the way. What happened with Nick Redfern is this. He writes kind of paranormal investigative things. He was contacted by a man from a group that calls itself the Collins Elite, and they are a think tank for Washington. And as a think tank, they had determined that the government's interaction with aliens and interaction with the occult was leading it down a bad path. And they maintain that our government has been actively working with extraterrestrials, that the Collins Elite not Christians, by the way, have determined are demonic or and malevolent in nature. And so we have this whole group within the U.S. government that is saying that these beings do exist. They're not extraterrestrial, they're extra-dimensional, and not only are they extra-dimensional, but they fit the pattern of demonic activity that was seen throughout the Middle Ages. So it's a very, very intriguing book, but this gets back to your question that way. Israel becoming a nation, huge amount of extraterrestrial type activity that, even some people in the U.S. government think may well be satanic in nature.
Lisa Haven talks about the Collins elite, or wrote about, actually, the Collins elite and why you need to know about them. Very interesting. And that's just one example, folks, of how the books in real life kind of intersect. I didn't mean to take you off your stride, but that's I wanted to toss it in.
And real quick here, in Ezekiel 28, it talks about the return of Israel in the last days. And just three verses I want to read here. And there shall be no more a prickering briar unto the house of Israel, nor any grieving thorn of all that are round about them that despise them. They shall know that I am the Lord God. Thus say the Lord God, when I shall have gathered the house of Israel from the people among whom they are scattered, and shall be sanctified in them in the sight of the heathen, then they shall dwell in their land that I have given to my servant Jacob. And they shall dwell safely therein, and shall build houses and plant vineyards. Yea, they shall dwell with confidence when I have executed judgments upon all that despise them round about, and they shall know that I am the Lord God. That's talking about, you know, what we had seen in the 1947, where Israel was gathered out of the four corners of the earth and turned into a nation in one
absolutely.
Day.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I take a little bit of a different stance on this one point, and I'm just going to explain it quickly, but you will hear people talk about a Psalm 83 war, a war that is a war that Israel has with its near in neighbors, is described in Psalm 83. And then you'll hear people talk about Gog and Magog war, which is kind of a war that Israel has with its further out neighbors. I actually think that these are all part of World War III, all part of, you know, so like I think we're seeing battles and not individual wars. So Israel might start fighting with its near-in Muslim neighbors, but then it broadens to Turkey and Russia and others. So, but the important thing there is that the countries that are mentioned in each of these descriptions are now current-day Israel's enemies. So not only Israel coming back, and not only the weird alien deception coming online, but the general pattern of neighbors, of enemies of the state of Israel was all predicted, and it's coming to life right now. So, you know, does anybody know for sure? No, but I think that, you know, we have got tremendous signs. Again, the same thing with Daniel, right? I mean, Peter Chalka was talking about this in 1907. We had none of the technology we have today, right? And you know, you can go back to, I want to remember the old movie, but I can't. But I remember in an old movie, a guy comes into the room and says, like, what does the guy have to do, make a transatlantic flight to get any attention around here? Because it was right, you know, it was right with Lucky Lindy and that day and age, right? We're only 100 years away from this. Our culture, our technology is unknowable, unfathomable to people in 1900. It's crazy, right? I mean, I think if my father were alive to see what when you take out your iPhone, you have the world's knowledge at your hands.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Doug, do you remember going to the library to look at the encyclopedia?
Oh, every yeah,
it's
yeah, yeah, and I'm, you know, frankly, I missed that time, but that's a subject for another time. But yes, yes, I do.
Well, that's because you want to drive a 1976 Jag to the library.
Hey, Mom, I'm with you. I'm with you. But anyway.
All fairness, Doug, she doesn't want old. She wants new. She's with you on the Jag. She's not with you on the year.
Okay. Sorry, we'll still get you one. But no, you're right. The technology alone. And that's, again, in your books, it's reflected, the deception. It's difficult. We'll compare today the technology versus the day that Israel became a nation again.
It's crazy different.
Yeah. Even in 1948.
Yes.
Could that be? Could it, could, wow. Wow. You really have to think about this. Consider this, mull this over. And that's why the Bible to me is much more than just a book that sits on the shelf. To me, it's come alive.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and what does John see? John sees a great earthquake and the earth rolling back on its, and the atmosphere rolling back on itself like a scroll. He's witnessing a mushroom cloud. Right? We only have that type of technology now in our generation.
Yep. Wow. It's amazing. The concept, and I don't mean to dwell on this, but the concept of alien deception really, to me, intrigues me. That and the identity of the Antichrist, which both of which you address in your series of books, This Generation. Go to Amazon. T.C. Joseph is our in-studio guest.
Yes, and to be fair, I didn't know anybody that I based the Antichrist character on. that was made up. Nobody in my life is the Antichrist in the book, Doug.
I'm trying to structure this question without necessarily. Well, let's put the books aside for a moment. Okay, that way, where there's no spoilers. As you look out over the landscape today, in terms of an Antichrist, do you see any contenders?
You know, yes. I actually hate to make those kind of predictions because it could be anyone, but
sure.
The books.
Yeah, see, I
take a stance, yeah. and that stance is based on my looking at President Erdogan. For a long time now in Turkey. Somebody that wants to reestablish the Ottoman Empire is somebody that we really need to take a close look at.
But can you, okay, so it's my understanding, and again, your knowledge of Scripture certainly supersedes mine. Isn't the Antichrist someone that everyone would follow? Every rational, sensible human being would follow, regardless of faith?
Well, ideology. You know, and that's true, and this is where I'm not convinced of it. I think that's part of the deception.
Ah, okay, all right.
I think that's part of the deception, and if you have an alien presence that taps somebody on the shoulder and says, "This is your guy,"
okay,
that's who the world will follow. But, you know, what we really, you know, the other, one thing that's brought out in the book Final Events, one thing that the Collins Elite makes reference to is this: people who have communications with aliens, people who claim abduction, etc. For some reason, these aliens always, always trash Christ and Christianity.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Never Buddha, never Muhammad. They trash Christ, they trash Christianity. People have stopped abduction scenarios by demanding that they go away in the name of Christ.
Yes.
So it looks like they're gearing toward that, right? When we get the friendly ET that says, "This is your man," I think that's the one we really want to look at.
Mm.
And so I don't know. My books kind of take the stance that if they can generate a person who can meet the Islamic Mahdi requirements and the Jewish Messiah requirements, that would be the person that people would follow. I kind of never really went there in the long run because I think that the alien deception is more.
I agree.
It is more feasible in this day and age.
I agree, especially with that, with what you said. especially in this day and age. I think that the technology that we have, I agree with that. I do. I mean, look at, I hate to bring other people or magic into this, but look at, what is that guy that, real famous guy that, David Blaine?
The magician?
Yeah. You know, walk on water and do all, I mean, just imagine that on a much greater scale, greater in intensity, greater in deception.
Right.
You know,
who brings people to the table and to make them want peace. Now, I honestly think that that's not going to happen easily. Again, in the books, I think that we need a serious threat to our world in order to come to a point of global governance. I think there are too many people like me who are nationalists that are not going to give in to global governance unless there's some kind of huge threat.
Unless you're dead.
Yes.
You know, referenced earlier.
Yeah.
Wow. Depending on the course of events, or the timing of the events, which is rather troubling. Okay.
But again, you know, I go back and forth on this, right? I mean, part of me feels very, very privileged to be living in this time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm privileged to live in a time where they're flushing toilets, I got to tell you. I like that. I like that very much, Doug. But amazingly, I mean, and I think this is my big thing that drives me crazy is that people don't read Scripture or don't read Scripture in its entirety. And so they're missing. I mean, what is going on in the world today is so richly embedded into the Bible narrative that it's a total faith builder. You know, if you get out there, like, listen, you know what? I'll make $500 anyway. If you don't want to buy my books and you just want to read the Bible, read the Bible. But, you know, that's the answer.
My mindset, you know, I can't imagine anyone living through today that calls themselves or identifies as a Christian that wouldn't pick up the Bible and say, wait a minute, I'm reading in the Bible what we're living today.
It's hard to fathom. But we, you know, we allegorize, we teach people that the Bible is a bunch of moral plays, a bunch of moral stories, a bunch of, and it's so much more than that. It's so much more diverse than that. It's so much more rich than that.
Oh, it is. And I mean, some people, I believe, you know, will read it or hear the stories and say, well, I've heard all the stories and I've read it. I don't need to read it again. But, you know, you can read it 1,000 times and each time you read it,
absolutely,
you get more out of it. The teachings change with your level of spiritual growth and understanding.
It is a living book.
Very much so, yeah. And, you know, for this generation and you know, just really with we talked about the increase in technologies from the accessibility of entertainment, whether it's, you know, looking on your computer, to your phones, to your TVs, people, for some reason, gravitate towards, they'd rather listen to people commentate on the Bible rather than reading the Bible themselves.
Absolutely.
I mean, I would rather nobody listen to us and read the Bible instead. We have too many sources in this world. You know, people are listening to what's on the news. They're listening to what other commentators say, what other, you know, preachers say, when there is no barrier in between yourself and the Lord. You can get that information firsthand by reading the Bible in prayer. And that's how everybody should do it. And then with that discernment and understanding, go out into the world and discern what's going on, rather than being told what's going on, or, you know, hearing opinions from the... We have too many people that talk and not enough people who listen to the Lord.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the answer to that is because it's easier. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, you know, I can't read the Bible on the treadmill. I can listen to you guys on the treadmill. And that's fine. I listen to you guys on the treadmill. But you know, people are... We keep people so busy these days that they are apportioning their time into smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller segments. So they want the sound bite. And really true good Bible reading comes from relationship with the Lord, right? I mean, you can read it and it can be dry as toast, but it's really letting the Holy Spirit shine through it and enlighten it that makes it into something. You know, I really do honestly believe that, let me just step back for a second. I was telling Doug and Joe this last night and John, this man that was the good looking priest, challenged me. He said, like, you know, you love scripture so much. It'd be good if you could kind of put down in a book why you love scripture. And it'd be something we could give to people. And so I have written a book called The Challenge, that's sitting on the shelf. And I probably need to go over it one more time, but it's the whole idea of the challenge is to entice people to read the Bible and start looking for these wonderful, wonderful connections. And I'll just do one. We started this last night at the table, but I did take the time to look them up today. Every little thing, right? When people will say the Bible is just a bunch of begats, okay? If you really, really start to study and you really, really start to look at it, from Adam to Noah are these generations, right? It's Adam and then Seth and then Enosh and then Canaan, Mahalalel, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, and Noah. Okay. But when you translate those names to what their meanings are, right? So those are the Hebrew names, but what they mean are Adam means man, Seth means appointed, Enosh means mortal, Canaan means jealousy or sorrow, Mahalalel means blessed God, Jared means shall come down, Enoch means dedicated, Methuselah means his death shall bring, Lamech means the despairing, Noah rest. Put them all together, it says, man is appointed mortal sorrow, but blessed God shall come down to the dedicated, and his death shall bring about, shall bring the despairing rest. The very gospel message is printed in the begats from Adam to Noah. There are so many things like this in the Bible. And, you know, there was a study done. This is a very hard one to quote because it was done by Soviet scientists and we don't really have the record. So it's more anecdotal than I would like it to be, but there was a scientist who had, frog's eggs. And he had salamander DNA. And he used bright lights and shone the lights through the salamander DNA onto the frog's eggs. And they hatched as salamanders. Because he changed the DNA. And I submit to you that the power of the Holy Spirit shining through the DNA of the Bible changes people's lives. It is not just a little thing. I think it's a real thing. I think people's lives literally change from the Word of God shining into their DNA.
That's an amazing comparison. Would it be an analogy? I suppose.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think DNA, speaking of that, DNA also plays a role in our salvation.
I think so too.
I'm not sure how, but we hear Ted Brewer talk about it, we hear others talk about it, but I do believe that, a person's DNA does change, when they're saved, genuinely saved. Now, I do believe we do have to take a bottom of the hour break. So we're up against that. Our guest in studio.
We still got 2 minutes.
Yeah, we do.
Okay.
I cannot read that, so.
We're gonna get you a clock with big, with the big numbers on it. Or maybe a big digital clock.
But I just want to tell people our guest in studio is T.C. Joseph, the author of this generation series of novels, and it's just great to have him. Great to have him here in studio. First book is Precipice, then Pentecost, then Penance is the, third in a trilogy.
But it's not a trilogy, Doug.
Or, well,
No, I mean, it's only a trilogy right now, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I left way too many things hanging at the Independence.
Yeah, by definition, I guess you're right.
Yeah, so the next book is Parousia, which is a Greek word that means the coming of the Lord. And the fifth book is Precedent. This generation really takes place from 1948 through now, but I started in 69. And because, you know, the history of this is, originally it was Precipice and Pentecost were one book, but it was one nasty long book. And before I sent it to the publishers, and what I wanted to do, I chose the 69, 79, et cetera, because for each of those years, I chose real life events that might be on a little bit on the fringe of reality. So I wanted 1969 because we landed on the moon. And there are tales of ham operators who said that they heard 2 minutes of speech that NASA blocked out, where Armstrong and Neil Armstrong and who was that?
Buzz Aldrin.
Buzz Aldrin.
Yeah.
Spoke of seeing alien ships on the moon, watching them.
Yep.
Let's stop right there, folks. That's right up against the break. We're gonna want to come back and pick up right here on the other side. You're listening to this edition of the Hagmann Report with our in studio guest T.C. Joseph. Our last segment coming up right after this.
Visit HagmannReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back.
Shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be.
Folks, I'm going to direct your attention to MasterPreps.com. MasterPreps.com. Wow. MasterPreps.com, the sponsor of our show, MasterPreps.com. That's MasterPreps.com. Take a visit there. High-quality items, made-in-America items. I mean, anything, everything you possibly want, from cooking utensils, cooking frying pans. It'll blow you away. Absolutely, Erickson.
It's insane. I mean, wow. Look at the products.
Folks, visit MasterPreps.com. Again, welcome to the Hagmann and Hagmann Report family. MasterPreps.com. I mean, wow. It's insane.
MasterPreps.com. Are you ready for what comes next?
Hi, I'm Grace Gonzalez from Chang Close in the Woods. We are an American family-owned company founded and built on skills and knowledge gained from responding to 18 major disasters in the U.S. and around the world. We found that most people don't have enough food and water to survive, let alone any medicinals to save their life. We're offering 25% off our must-have American Heritage Armies kit. It contains 12 homeopathic armies, a booklet that goes over everything in your kit, and our brand new book, Major Disasters Lessons Learned. Just enter coupon code HAGMAN. In life or a disaster, you must be able to take care of yourself. You may not be a medical doctor, and your grandmother and your great-grandmother probably weren't either, but they still knew how to minister to their family's health issues, and so can you. Check out our American Heritage Armies kit at www.changeclosewoods.com. Your life may depend on it.
Hello, everyone. This is Joe Charles, the guy whose voice is heard announcing for the Hagmann and Hagmann Report right here on YouTube and across the Global Star Radio Network. There have been many people wondering whose music is being played during those breaks. Well, you guessed it. And we're very pleased to announce that all that music and 11 brand new songs from the CD New Jerusalem is set for release on April 10th for download on iTunes. That means you can help support my ministry and be blessed by this awesome, inspiring recording. I have been fortunate to work with some phenomenal musicians from around the world that helped us put this recording together in the studio. Simply go to joecharlesmusic.com and click on the iTunes link. Or, if you'd rather have a CD, we'll send one right out to you. Just leave me your email and we'll get right back to you. And thanks to Doug and Joe Hagmann for making this all possible. God bless.
Thank you.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to our final segment on this Monday, August 28th edition of the Hagman Report. We have in-studio guest T.C. Joseph with us, and we've been getting into a whole number of different issues, talking about his books, talking about his life, and Bible prophecy, and everything in between. Right before the break, you were talking about the astronauts, Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin.
Yeah. So, I was saying that Pentecost and Precipice were originally one book, and for each of the years, I would put in a little bit of copy from events that happened in those years, and I really, really wanted 1969 because it fit into the whole alien deception thing. And there are ham operators who claim that they heard 2 minutes there's 2 minutes of silence in the transmissions from the moon. That ham operators claim that they heard Buzz Aldrin and Neil Armstrong saying that there were alien ships watching them as they stepped onto the moon. So that's how I ended up picking 1969 as a starting point. But the real last generation comes about with the establishment of Israel. So the fifth book in the series is Precedent, and it goes back in time to show us the MK Ultra effect on the families that you've been reading for the whole series. So it's a little bit of fun. We're starting to build that mystery now in Penance. In Penance, the character Michael happens on a photo that is very old, but it has most of the characters in the book together, even though they didn't know each other at the time. So okay. He's trying to figure out what happened there, and that will come about in Precedent. If we have just a second, I just want to thank Lisa H. She's in the chat, and she said that she just bought all three books. And Lisa, you know that you probably moved me to $465. I'm really, really psyched. Thank you very much. Thank you.
No, that's awesome. That's awesome. We got a great audience, and you know, they're always it's always great to have that live interaction. You know, and you just reminded me, maybe I should look in my email here, look in the studio email, and see if anybody had sent any questions or anything. Haven't been paying attention to the email, but no, it's great. And it's always, we were talking off air about the flow of the show, the tempo, and what it's like to listen versus be here in studio, and the different dynamics of that.
I was saying the breaks seem so much longer when you're listening.
Yeah, they do.
I've heard that. It's interesting because people do say, oh, your breaks are way too long, your intro is way too long. And relative to other shows of this nature, they're actually shorter. So go figure.
Yes. I mean, I love your intros, although I'm an old listener. I'm a diehard, you know. In my mind, I always hear, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, right. The prosecution is not going to get that man. That was a great, great, that was a great lead-in.
Yeah, that's been with us since the beginning, I think. Nearly the beginning, yeah. Since, wow.
So anyway, I don't know if I could just go back on this, but the book Precedent will be the last book in this series. And it will talk about, the character Benny is so foul. And there's some really good explanation as to why he became who he did. And so we'll find out in Precedent. It takes place in the 1948 through 1969 period. And we'll learn a little bit about MK Ultra. We'll learn a little bit about, what secret, Chris's parents knew that caused their murder. And so, you know, like in the book Penance, we're looking at a photo of an old photo of all the characters that was taken before they even knew each other, and they don't know how this photo was taken, but we'll find that out in Precedent.
I got to ask you, have you gotten any blowback about the books, either from Muslims or Christians? And I'm framing that, I'll just leave it at that.
The biggest blowback, my mother started to read it. She got to page 19 and said, I didn't read smut before my stroke, and I'm not reading smut now.
Okay.
So she also doesn't, it's weird. I'm not sure if it's because of the stroke or because she's just being her, but she maintains she can never remember the word precipice. So she always tells people I wrote a book called Pissarette.
That's pretty funny.
But no, I haven't had, you know, I probably don't have the readership to have blowback like that. I've had blowback from Christians. Somebody wrote on Amazon, I've been a Christian all my life and these books aren't Christian, but I beg to differ in that. I really do think
I do too. I mean, I would, I didn't mean to stop you there. I see the reason I ask is because, I don't think there's anything inappropriate in the books. You know, about mom, hey mom, Jack. Anyway, about the, about smut.
No, but the book, you know, Precipice starts off with a 17-year-old girl dressing up and going into a bar specifically so she can get pregnant, so she can stop nighttime terrors from aliens who she thinks are trying to impregnate her.
Right.
And that's what my mother reacted to, and I think probably that's what the woman who wrote this comment reacted to. You know, desperate times call for desperate measures, and in all fairness, Kim in the book wasn't a Christian at that point, right? I mean,
right.
And I think we find we see a lot of characters grow, and some grow toward evil, some grow toward good. But there's a lot of character development, a lot of character growth, and those ones who grow toward good, we see them repeatedly. We see characters making a profession of faith in Jesus and their lives being changed. So I think that's the ultimate Christian novel. Now, right. It, you know, it's not Little House on the Prairie, right? I don't have Ma and Pa and oatmeal. I just don't have that. It's just not what I've got.
I don't think it would work. This works a lot better.
Yeah, not for what I'm trying to convey. You know, and it could be, you know, and maybe it plays better to guys, right? I like action movies. I don't like, like Dances with Wolves really wasn't my movie, right? It just wasn't. And so.
Look, folks, in 5 minutes of Die Hard, okay, contains more, objectionable material than his books, so.
But we do, and again, it's never gratuitous. Like I talked about that sodomy incident, it happened,
right?
But it's not explicit at all. It's right. Barely even mentioned. But listen, there are evil people in this world who do evil things.
Yes, yes.
And my evil characters do evil things.
And that's the reality of it. You know, it just amazes me, and I apologize if this is out of sync here, but it amazes me where Christians can accept the beheadings of Christians or say, oh, well, that's, you know, or rationalize, Muslims beheading Christians, yet be offended by the material, by a curse word in a book.
Right.
I just don't understand that mentality.
You know, there's a point. If I write enough books after the challenge, you know, rabbis have this thought that prophecy isn't only the words that are written by the prophets, but prophecy is also pattern. And I'm witnessing a pattern now that disturbs me. You know, when Israel broke into two nations, it became Israel and Judah, they couldn't get along. And they started to make alliances with the nations around them. And I see both Protestant churches and Catholic churches making inroads to Islam instead of to each other, right? We need, as Christians, I'm not saying in some broad ecumenical sense, but I'm saying as Christians, we need to love and support each other. We need not to kill our weak and wounded, right? We need to love them and bring them along with us. And we're not good at that. And you know, what's the song? Like, they will know we are Christians by our love. Maybe that's why people don't respect us. We're not showing the love.
No. And that's a very good point. In fact, yeah, I don't want to use any examples because all the examples that I have but you're right. We have a tendency to frag one another. to friendly fire one another.
But here's what I'll say to you in terms of the pattern, right? What happened to Judah? What happened to Israel? They were destroyed.
Yep.
And I fear that for us, right? I mean, we are setting ourselves up to be absorbed into a global religion. And you know, I don't know. Mm.
Well, that's, you know, the goal is the eradication of religion, at least to the extent where the one religion that they want everybody to become part of is the satanic antichrist, you know, one world religion in the end. And what better way to do that than to turn the world against all the established religions already? And we see how they've done it with Christianity, how they've weaponized Islam. Some will argue that it was weaponized since its inception, but they are, even with the Pope, is spearheading this agenda and of spiritual bankruptcy and going to replace it with something else, whatever that may be. But I forget who brought the statistics out, 70% of Americans identify themselves as Christian.
But it's a much smaller percentage who actually practice Christianity.
That's true.
I would say a fraction of a fraction of those 70%. And, you know, that gives the rest of the Christians a bad name. And, you know, this political, economic condition and climate that we have in this country right now, it is stirring everybody up into a frenzy where people are ready to fight or get out there and fight those who are causing the fights in the first place. And it's taking, when people are putting politics and other things in front of their faith and their religion, it's so easy to dilute your own faith.
It is.
In that way.
And, you know, and we hear, like, I thought Pastor Langford did a great job last week where he was saying, like, you know, nobody's preaching holy living. Nobody's preaching repentance. And he's right about that, or very few people are. I mean, clearly, Franklin Graham and Ann Graham Lotz are. But I think part of, I want to say this the right way. See, I could never be a pastor. And the reason for that is somebody would say, pray for me. And I'd say, well, let me see. Are your knees bruised? Have you been praying? Because the reality of it is they do need to preach those things. But a relationship with Christ naturally leads you to those things, right? If you're on your knees and you're in the Bible, you are going to come to repentance because the Holy Spirit is going to be checking you and saying, no, maybe you shouldn't have said that. Maybe you shouldn't have done that. Maybe you need to get clean from this. And so I do think we need to preach those things, but we need to enable people to have a walking, living, breathing, loving relationship with the Lord. That's what it's all about.
This is better than any conversation I've had after, you know, church services or even after many Bible study groups.
It's usually because it's just you yelling and kicking something.
That's not true. but
all right. Everybody in the studio is laughing because they know. Yeah. They know.
Well, but no, the conversation, I think, this conversation is important. As we hear about a missile being fired by North Korea over Japan, as we look at perhaps entering into this third world war, as we look upon next year being the 70th anniversary of Israel becoming a nation, and then, of course, the events, celestial events of this September, what better thing to talk about? What better time to talk about it than right now?
In the Middle East, the decimation of the Middle East and the eradication of the Christian religion in Syria and Iraq, where it's been, you know, thousands of years, the main religion there. A lot of things, both in the Bible and the things that are happening politically and economically, seem to be converging. And it seems to all come around. I mean, we had the blood moons a few years ago, the tetrads, and we just had this eclipse. There's going to be another eclipse in 2024, which will it'll be coming the other way, where this eclipse went. It's going to create
an X on America,
right in America, and many people are taking that as an omen or as a sign that America is doomed. We have the September 23rd planetary alignment, and we have the wars, the rumors of wars. All these things, you know, it's creating the perfect storm, the rise of the AI technology, the one world government.
So the question then, from a personal standpoint, is Let's say all these things are coming to fruition, or let's say they're not coming to fruition. In the light of it, though, can you really afford to hate somebody who doesn't agree with you politically? Can you really afford to be, you know, I think that things like Facebook provide enough anonymity that people say things that maybe they wouldn't say to your face.
Oh, yeah.
But the problem isn't what they're saying. The problem is what they're feeling. And you know, can you afford that? Or would you rather live your life in a more lighthearted way? We talked about this last night, but I had a real hatred for Osama bin Laden, and God wouldn't let me get away with it. He made me pray for him every day until I didn't dislike him anymore. And it's not even didn't like him. I didn't dislike him. I felt bad at the reports that he was shot in the face. See, because God can make those changes in people. I couldn't have done that on my own, but he had me do it, and he provided the energy for that. And I think that, you know, if we can just kind of channel into that a little bit, I don't think God wants us, number one, to be fighting with each other, but I don't think he wants us fighting with the world either. I think he wants us winning the world with love. You know, mm-hmm. what Jesus says that we're to be about his business until his return, and we need to do that, but there's only one way to do that, and that's pretty much in his spirit, because I'm not smart enough, I know that, and I'm not, I don't have the energy that it takes to live, in forgiveness of people. But with him, I can do it. I'm half Italian, I grew up with a really Italian temper, which isn't there anymore, thank God. But it was caustic. It was really, really, really bad. On occasion it flares, but generally no. And that's, you know, that's what we have to understand, that we're responsible for the things we do. We're responsible for the things we write. And if it's amazing, right? I was saying to Doug last night, the books may never sell, but I'll never be a celebrity because I don't have a sex tape. And, have a sex tape if you want to be a celebrity, right? But it's amazing, right? These people are suddenly embarrassed by the things that they've taped. But if you actually live in a mindset that everything that you do is being recorded in heaven, I mean, my God, you really, really want to, you know, you want to hear "well done, faithful servant." You don't want to hear "holy cow." You know, you got in by the skin of your teeth. You just have to really, really think before you speak, and you have to really think before you act. And that's hard these days because life moves so quickly. A lot of times you don't have time to think.
Well, real quick here, one area we didn't get into is the economy. We see the stock market's at all-time highs.
Yeah.
We know there's the consumer confidence that has grown since Trump has taken office, but we'd still have the massive $20 trillion national debt. We have bubbles in the housing market and just about every market, student loan, auto. Any thoughts on what to expect?
Yeah, you know, I've been predicting a correction for years and years, and it's never come. And I'm thinking that we might not see one soon, if it happens, it happens in the fall. They always happen in the fall for some reason. But so we might have a bit of a correction, but I don't think we'll see a 5,000 number. But I do think that stocks are overly inflated. But I think that is probably a symptom of the money that we've just pumped into the economy, right? And so the stocks are high, the stock market is high, their values are high, but the dollar is worth so much less now that it's kind of a hard comparison to make, right? I mean, we flooded the market with dollars. A dollar buys a lot less. So I don't think we'll crash back down to 5,000.
Right. You got that right.
But that debt, what is that? And here's my issue on all of that. Do you know how much money $20 trillion is? Where did that go? It had to go to black ops things. It had to go to building underground sanctuaries for people who are afraid of what's coming. It had to go to secret space program or something, but you can't.
Right.
It's not going into Social Security and welfare benefits. $20 trillion is a significant amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
And we really, I mean, I don't know. You could do it. I mean, we can do a White House petition to ask for an accounting for all of us as to where that $20 trillion went. And, you know, it might take them 5 years to try to analyze it, but wouldn't that be fun? To just have the American people sign a petition saying, this is what we want. We want an analysis, a set of financial statements that show us cash in, cash out, borrowings. Where did this money go?
And even at that, even with that request, the massive, to drill down, you'd have to drill down in so many areas. I'm not even sure.
It would take $1 trillion for them to have the manpower to do
it. Wow.
but you know, this is something that we should, as citizens, be able to ask for.
Yes.
It's our debt.
That's true. Wow.
I mean, and it's not, I mean, it's really not a hard thing, right? I mean, what is the criteria on a White House petition? 100, 150,000?
100,000, I think. Joe, 100,000 signatures, I believe?
It's something like that, 100,000, 150,000. You know, and what American wouldn't want to just know where it went?
I agree.
With no recrimination, we can't fix it till we know where the holes are. Show us where the holes are.
Interesting. Wow. Well, TC Joseph is our guest this generation series of novels. We've got about
6 minutes.
Yeah, 6 minutes. The floor is yours. I want to thank you for being part of our being in studio. I mean, this is a treat for us, and you've really made our day. And I know that a lot of listeners, I'm seeing the comments, you've really made a lot of people's day, but closing thoughts, the floor is yours.
Well, I want to tell everybody out there, you know, you see Doug and Joe on the show and you wonder what they're like in real life. And if possible, they're actually nicer in real life. they have just been so warm and so welcoming and so kind that I can't say enough about them. They've been a joy, an absolute joy. And I'm really, really excited to be an in-studio guest here. You know, I wouldn't say I pushed it, but I really, really wanted it because I have not done a lengthy interview at all. And, I was a bit afraid of stage fright if I just did this by Skype, right? I really wanted the opportunity to sit down to dinner with you and really, really just talk and get to know you. And I really, really liked what I saw. The whole family, you're just a really, really lovely group of people.
Wow.
And
thank you.
And even Eric.
He is loud, though.
Yeah, he talks all the time, right? Yeah, you know, we are very fortunate. We're blessed. We're blessed to have you, I consider kind of our extended family. And we're just so blessed to have this dynamic among one another, but among our guests as well. And, wow.
And you do this all over the world. I mean, this is,
yeah.
I was saying this to Joe on one of the breaks, and he said, actually, I don't like to think about that while we're on the air. I said, but you know, you touch people's lives all over the world. It's kind of amazing, right? What you've been able to do is really astounding. And it's, you know, it's God blessing you, but it's also you guys having a willing heart, to listen to him and to take bold steps. You've taken some very bold steps.
On faith.
And people have slapped you for some of those. And you've had to really kind of turn the other cheek and keep going. And that's pretty amazing too.
You know, as long as God doesn't slap us.
No.
You know, and I think as long as we remain obedient to the calling and don't stray from that or don't, we just have to listen and be obedient and I think we'll be fine. Yeah.
Now I have to say I because I'm caring for my mother at night, I don't get to listen to you guys live, so I never get the opportunity to do this. But sometimes, Doug, you'll go off on a rant, and I want more than anything to write in or call in and say, like, Tagman, stop speaking my mind, because you're saying things that I, you know, that I really am thinking anyway. And I think you do that for a lot of us. I think you know, you have a really good way of crystallizing what's going on in the news. And if it's anger, it's righteous anger. I think you do us a real service.
Well, thank you. And one of the greatest criticisms I ever saw about one of my rants was when somebody wrote, when he gets going, he sounds like Elmer Fudd.
Elmer Fudd.
Yeah, you know, but I thought, how true is that? Because I get like tongue-tied, and you know, I got all these thoughts going, and I can't really speak. You know, I'm not an eloquent speaker, but boy, I'll tell you, I know what's in here, and sometimes it doesn't get processed well up here, but I know what's in here. But thank you for that. And you know, it's again, the dynamic here is just something that works.
The rapport you two have is really, really great. And I was talking to Joe about that. He said, you know, you spend so many hours in a surveillance car. you just get to know each other so well. And it, you know, that's a rare thing too. Adult son and father being able to be that close. And, you know, working together like this.
And surprise, he's still living.
Well, so many hours a day. I mean, these guys work tirelessly, folks. I mean, and so they're in each other's face a lot. And it's all done very lovingly, which is pretty, pretty neat. You know, I think it's pretty enviable.
Well, thank you. TC Joseph has been our wonderful in-studio guest. TC Joseph, This Generation series, folks, please. Get them over that $500 mark. You can do it. You can do it. Go to Amazon.
501. Come on. We're going for 501.
Yeah. Otherwise, you know. No, but seriously, he's been a wonderful, wonderful guest. He's a brilliant man. He really is. You know his story now, and just about a wide range of topics he's has been very articulate about. And we love him. We really do. I mean, he's a class act. And I think him for taking the time to come to the studio and appear on camera. That's TC Joseph, This Generation series of novels, 3 more coming, and of course get them on Amazon. Get those numbers up there.
And we'll have to do this again.
Yeah, we will. That would be great fun.
Yeah. Wow. All right. We're going to be watching the situation unfold in Houston, of course, with the floodwaters.
They're still calling for anywhere from 10 to 20 more inches of rain, looking like totals around 50 to 55 inches of rain. There's two dams. The names of the dams are...
That'll be horrible.
Oh, my goodness.
Not important. I do have them here somewhere.
They know where they are down there.
But if that... I'm hearing that in the next 8 hours, those dams are going to be overflowing, so they're going to do some controlled releases, which is going to put a lot more people in danger, especially if it continues to rain and the floodwaters continue to rise. So that's not over by any... it's not over yet.
No.
They're forecasting that system to be over in Texas until Thursday or Friday.
Keep them in your prayers, as well as 222 Missions...
Yeah.
Her listener and her daughter. And we're going to be keeping an eye on the Korean Peninsula situation as well as all of the every headline that you read. We're on top of it.
And don't forget the two daily shows, the Doug Hagmann Show, 9 to 10, the Hagmann Daily Show, 2 to 3. You can hear it and get it archived on Blog Talk Radio, as well as the archive on iTunes or any podcast apps. That'll do it for us tonight. Till tomorrow, stay safe. God bless. Have a great evening.